And one of the changes that we identified is with the area of relationship. In our previous episode, we talked about the issue of relationship. The Bible did say that for as many as have received the Lord Jesus, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And so because they became the sons of God, it is not a title, but it is a reality that they can experience. Are we together now? Now, men didn't have the experience of becoming, son of God before the start. The only person that seemed to have that kind of experience was Adam. Are we together now? So Adam was the only man that had that experience of being a son of God, limited time, until he lost the privilege. Now, from the time that the Lord Jesus came, men had a wonderful relationship with God, such that men are now the sons of God through the Lord Jesus. Now, so the issue of relationship the Lord Jesus finished the work of redemption, and men begin. Hallelujah. The moment men began to accept this work, things changed. Praise God. So today we want to look at the second thing that has changed since, the birth, the death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in this son should not perish, but receive eternal life. I know that so many Bible renditions say receive everlasting life. That is but a mistranslation. Hallelujah. Every spirit that is alive, whether they are born of God or they are of the devil or whatever kind of spirits that they have, possesses an everlasting life, a life that continues to exist forever, because spirits don't die. I was gonna now, spirits don't cease to exist, because when we say die in that sense, we mean the seizure to exist. I mean that when man ceases to exist, then we can say that they have died. And so we know that spirits do not die. That's why I love the NIV version. The NIV version says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that the whole world might be saved. Through him, that the whole world might be saved. So it means that men were not saved before the Lord Jesus came. This is common knowledge. It is common knowledge that men were not saved before the Lord Jesus came. It is common knowledge. It is common knowledge that men were dead before the Lord Jesus came. And the language dead that God used in describing, you know, what would happen to Adam and Eve in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2 now, did not actually mean that their spirit would die, but that they would become separated from God. So first and foremost, the first time death was mentioned in the Bible, it did not mean the kind of death where men would cease to exist. Rather, it meant a separation from the source of life. So primarily what death means is separation from the source of life, or say separation from the life-giving force of everything. So men were dead because they were separated from God. It's so important that we understand this. Men were dead because they were separated from God. And so because men were separated from God because of their death, they couldn't relate with God, neither could God, openly and brazenly involve himself in the affairs of every man directly. It is important that we understand this. So after men fell, God had to introduce a system to relate with man and keep the act, and preserve the act, as the language I would prefer to use. Because God has a plan. Praise the Lord. If you read Genesis chapter 3, when God began to describe to Adam and Eve the situation that they found themselves, he faced the serpent, and he told the serpent that day, only Satan probably understood what God said that day, though it was partially. God said that it is the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will strike the heel of the seed of the woman. Now, we know that a woman cannot bring forth seed without the, without the man. So if God is saying that it is the seed of the woman, God is saying that a child will come out of the woman without the intervention of the man. And it is this child that come out of the woman without the intervention of the man that will take away the authority that, Satan took away from Adam that day. And all that Satan will be able to do will be to persecute the seed of this woman and as well as his offspring. Are we together now? So when this seed eventually came, it came to fulfill a plan. But in order for that plan to become workable, God had to preserve the heart. Are we together now? Because left to the devil, left to Satan running affairs in the world, he would have destroyed the world a long time ago that nothing would remain. Without the intervention of God time and again in the affairs of men through certain men, are we together now? Through certain men to keep the heart in shape until his plan was actualized through the birth, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, God had to do something. Now, there is a serious dilemma in this case because men were dead, separated from God, one, and two, God needed to intervene in the affairs of men in order to preserve the earth that his plan might be actualized. This is a very serious dilemma. Hallelujah. Very serious dilemma. On one hand, men were dead. Now, the question we want to ask is this. Why didn't just God interfere in the affairs of man directly? Why didn't God just, just do things? Since he was the owner and the creator of all things, why didn't he just do things? Well, there was one thing that God is binding by, and it is his word. God is bound by his word. The integrity of God's word is his integrity. And he has said since the beginning, he has committed the affairs of the earth into the hands of men from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 to 28. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion, not us. Let the man have dominion over everything that we have created. And so when the man was created, the man was commanded to have dominion. So God created everything and gave the dominion to man. Now, despite the fact that he's the owner and creator of all things, the dominion to operate, the authorization to operate, are we together now, remains in the hands of the man. Now, the problem was that the man gave away this authorization to the devil. And God is not unjust to snatch it away. Are we together now? So since man is still the recognized authority on earth to get things done, the devil is just a thief. So every time God needed to do something, he has to partner with a man. Are we together now? So in the affairs of things, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1 down to the birth of the Lord Jesus as a drama, a very serious drama with serious implications. A drama between the Father, the creator of all things, okay, and the son that he has created, that is Adam, are we together now, and the thief. So men fell short of the glory of God. It's so important that we understand this. And so if God were to relate with them, there had to be a system. Hallelujah. There had to be a system. And what was this system? Romans chapter 9, from verse 4. We're reading from verse 11. Romans chapter 9 from verse 11 down to 13. Romans chapter 9 from verse 11 down to verse 16. Excuse me. Romans chapter 9. Let's start from verse 13 now. It says, as it is written, Romans chapter 9 from verse 13 down to 16. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say there? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. All right. For he said to Moses, pay attention, for God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, many Christians make this mistake to think that this is a statement that God said unto the believer in the new, in Christ Jesus. No, this is not true. This is a statement that God made unto Moses. Moses, under a different dispensation. Moses and his people. It is very important that we understand this. And so God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 16 now says, so then it is not of him that wills, hallelujah, nor of him that runs, hallelujah, but of God that shows mercy. The system that God introduced was mercy. Mercy. You know, mercy is not the language mercy as we call it now. It is a system of God. I was gonna now that stands as the, you know, the, I don't know how to put it now, that gives men the authorization to become able to receive from God. Aha. So that though they were dead, are we together now? Though they were dead, but this system of God, when it's introduced into the life of the man, are we together now? It gives the man an authorization to become able to talk with God, to become able to receive from God mercy. This system was such that it does not care about any other thing. God's mercy does not care about your will. It does not care about your ability to run. It does not care about the things that you are doing. All that it cares about is the plan of God that God wants to do through you. Mercy. Verse 16 says, so then it is not of him that wills, meaning that your will has no part to play, forget it, nor of him that runs. So your running might not really make any difference, but of God that showeth mercy. You begin to study about certain men in the Bible, men that were crucial to the plan of God, up to the point that Lord Jesus came. Men such as Noah, Abraham, and co. The Bible talks about this man. And about now, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the sight of God. He found mercy in the sight of God. The same thing with Abraham. First and foremost, he encountered mercy. Every single man under, you know, before the law was introduced, that had a relationship with God, had this relationship on the basis of God's mercy. They had this intervention first and foremost on the basis of his mercy. I was gonna now, even the laws and the ordinances and all of that were introduced as a result of his mercy. I was gonna now. Why is mercy important? Because it was necessary. That fear in the nature, especially when he's dead, that is so unable to receive from God, and without the wisdom of oblivion, without the wisdom kingdom of God, it would have been destroyed, such that Jesus would not meet anything by the time he comes. There to do something, to keep the heart as it is. My father is a master strategist. You must understand this. So mercy, it was a system. Not just something that you just obtain. It was a system. Although certain men positioned themselves to becoming important by their relationship, to becoming important to the plans of God in the future, but first and foremost, it was God that looked on them, saw the future, and had mercy on them. Are we together now? This man didn't have any merit initially. You know, we might be tempted to think that this, and that's why God chose them. No, this man didn't have any merits initially. Though they eventually built a relationship with God, but initially better than other men. As if Abraham was better than Lot. I would get it now. Esau was better than Jacob. God just saw a vital love. He looked at the future of the two and he said, okay, this one will be fitting, stubborn, and so let's just keep it at one side. Are we together now? It's so important that we understand this language. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So it means that it is my system. I am the one introducing it. You have no basis to relate with me. So I am carefully selecting the people that I know are useful and can bend to my will. Hallelujah. That was the system. But something happened. Now, John 3:16 that we just read earlier, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, mercy was the system that we were accustomed to before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now, when it was time for the Lord Jesus to come, something was introduced that wasn't talked about in the entire Old Testament enough. The love of God. The Bible says that God loved the world and he gave his begotten son. Something was beginning to happen. A change was about to happen. A change was about to happen. And so God loved the world. He gave his son. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 14. If you look at John chapter 1 from verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the world. It was describing, the Holy Spiritual Apostle John was describing for us the person of the Lord Jesus. And he said, in the beginning was the world, and the world was with God, and the world was God. Okay? He says, through the world, all things were made. Nothing was made without the world that was made. I was going to now. And he says, the world became flesh, and we beheld his glory. Verse 14 now. The world became flesh, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, pierce these two scriptures together. John 3:16, God loved, he gave his son. And now the son that he gave, as we saw him, was full of God's grace and truth. The son that he gave. Hallelujah. The son that he gave was full of grace and truth. So the coming of the son heralded a new dispensation. I would get it now. The coming of the son. Mercy was the system, but something is about to change. When the son came into the picture, two important things. The first of them is grace. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4 down to verse 11. I'm reading from the NIV version here. It's, but because of his great love for us, Pay attention, brethren. Because of his great love for us, John 3:16, are rich in mercy. The existing system was mercy before the Lord Jesus came. He says, for his great love, God, who is already rich in mercy, I want to get it now, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions. The Bible now says, it is by grace you have been saved. God made us alive. Even when we were dead, God brought us back to life from the dead through his grace. Now, look at it. So what gave birth to the grace of God? I would get it now. The grace of God brought in a new dispensation and a change of relationship entirely, signaling a change in the system of God's intervention of man. God couldn't interfere directly in the affairs of man because they were dead. So it did something to bring them to life so it could interfere directly. Are we together now? So the system it created, are we together, was grace. Now, this system born out of his abundant mercy and his great love. It says, because of his great love, rich in mercy, gave us grace. So basically speaking, the grace of God is the new system. So when you hear that we are in the era or dispensation of grace, we are saying entirely that the system of God's intervention of men has changed entirely. You know, many people misuse that statement and begin to say we are in the era of grace to say that God can accomplish every nonsense, or God can allow any nonsense and tolerate any nonsense that we do. This is not true. What we are just saying is that there has been a change in the system of God's relationship and intervention in the affairs of the head. It is by the grace of God that you have been saved. And the grace of God is the combination of his mercy and his love. Now go back to John chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Why is grace important? Now, we have received the Lord Jesus. We have become born again by his grace. I will get it now. And the Bible now says that something in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 so that we can understand. So that we can understand again that the grace of God is God's system for us. Let's continue from verse 6. And God has raised us up with Christ, him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order. Everybody say in order now. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. In order that in the coming ages, that is to say, from that time onward, there are coming ages. This scripture is signaling a change in dispensation, that in order in the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches. That is to say, it's coming from the point that the Lord Jesus came, full of grace and truth, and finished the work of redemption. That from that point on, God introduced his grace to us through the Lord Jesus. Are we together now? In order that he might show, pay attention everybody, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. The incomparable riches of his grace is what God wants to show. So God is no longer standing upon the system of mercy. He's no longer saying, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. No, he's saying, well, my sons, what I want to reveal through you is the incomparable riches of my grace that you have received. Now, this time, it is not just about God showing mercy. Now it is important the will of the man and the running of the man is now the will of the man and the running of the man was not in praise the Lord. Sorry for that short interruption. I was saying that the grace of God became the system that he introduced. Now, before under the system of mercy, the will of the man and the running of the man didn't matter to whether God would be involved in his issues. It did not matter. Are we together now? But in this dispensation of grace, God is saying, I want to show the incomparable riches of my grace. And where is this grace? The grace is in you. I want to show forth the incomparable riches of my grace, which you have received. So it means that there is a responsibility upon you. Are we together now? To show forth this grace, to manifest this grace. So your will at this time and your running at this time matters. Because the system is no longer me selecting people. The system is now me. Are we together now, walking through all of you that are able to receive Jesus? Because of this mass, this change is a very massive change. There has to be a massive change in our mentality as to how God interferes in the affairs of man. There's something the Bible does say. Are we together now? That the God Jesus is full of grace and truth. Are we together? And Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that if by one man's offense death reigned by one, it says, how much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It says they shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. That have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. They shall what? Reign in life. Now, so this man shall become, they shall perform the assignment that Adam couldn't accomplish in that day. They shall perform it because they have received the abundance of grace. So don't notice that rather than wait for God's mercy, I will get it now, because that dispensation has passed. Hallelujah. It is important that you, for you to understand that from the day you received the Lord Jesus, you have received the requisite grace, the system of God for getting things done in this dispensation. So grace is not license to behave. Hallelujah. Grace is a system that qualifies you to experience and walk like God on the earth. I repeat, grace is not the license to misbehave. Hallelujah. Grace is not the license to misbehave. Grace is not the license to misbehave. It is a system that once you have received it, qualifies you as God. And not just receive the intervention of God, but manifest like God on the earth. So you are a proper king because of the abundance of grace. As a believer in Christ Jesus, change that the time have shifted to the, you know, when all you have to seek was the mercy of God, to the point where you have to, you know, come to the point of experiencing his grace. Jesus was to tell us about this change in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. He first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible says every other thing shall be. And when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God in Luke 17:20, that is the Lord Jesus himself. Kingdom of God cometh not by observation. He says the kingdom. I am saying again that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have requisite in you the system of God's intervention in the affairs of man. You don't believe me yet? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. This is the third witness. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. God is able to do exceeding abundantly. I would get it now. God can do beyond all we can think, and ask for. But the Bible limits the intervention of God in our life to one thing and one thing only. Bible says that the intervention of God, the workings of God, the manifestation of God is in our life is limited to one thing and one thing only. And interestingly, it does not call it mercy. It says, it is God. It says, according to the power that worketh in you. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may or ask for, but according to the power that work in you. I am saying that God has deposited his power. You're wondering how this power came into being. Are we together now? The Bible talks about two ways you received power. Two important ways that you received power. Hallelujah. The first kind of power you received is John. Is through John chapter 1 verse 12. When the gospel was preached to you. John 12. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. As many as received him, to them power to become the sons of God. This power to become the sons of God, which is the first power, so to say, that you have when you believe the Lord Jesus, is what John 3:16 calls eternal life. So just by having eternal life in you, you have in you the power that is able to bring forth things. You know the interesting part? It didn't stop there. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord Jesus told the disciples that you shall receive power. This is the second power that you have received. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Outside of these two power, there is no other power you can receive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The source of everything you receive in the Lord Jesus comes as a result of the combination of these two powers working in you. Let me repeat. Every other thing that you receive in Christ Jesus after receiving the Lord Jesus, even the intervention of God in your life now, comes as a result of the combination or the agreement of these two powers working in you. That is the life of God in you activated by the Spirit of God. This you must understand. Means is that every form of intervention that you desire and you seek will come from inside of you. Because God is not just residing anywhere but in. This is why Romans chapter 4, talking about the righteousness that is of faith, says that do not say in your heart that who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Jesus up, or who shall go into the heavens, that is to bring Jesus down. Do not say that, because Jesus already resides in you. Hallelujah. So it is the completion of the work. Change the dispensation for men. So the system of God's intervention, you know, we have to come back every time to interfere in the affairs of men. No. From the day you receive the Lord Jesus, God gives on to you, hallelujah, the power to become his son, that is the authority to walk as a heir on the earth, one, and then two, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive the fullness of the power in its full form. The executive power in its full form. So you cannot neglect these two and expect to see anything from God. I repeat, you can't neglect these two, expect to receive anything from God. And this is why our prayer centers are filled with prayers that are unanswered. You cannot neglect the eternal life in you and the Spirit of the living God in you and expect to receive anything from God. So everything that you are going to receive, hallelujah, the intervention of God in your life is dependent on the working of these two powers. I'm telling you now, the system has changed. So rather than seek for mercy, hallelujah, rather than seeking for mercy, an outdated system, hallelujah, hallelujah, seek to, activate grace, because the grace in your life. Did you not hear what Romans 5:17 said? He said, how much more they that have received an abundance of grace. So grace is even such that you can't pray for it. Bible says you have received an abundance of it. Though you can multiply it, but the Bible does say you can receive an abundance of it. I mean, you have received an abundance of it when you receive the Lord Jesus. So you can't even pray for grace. You already received it. Hallelujah. I am saying, see, there is a reason why the Lord Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you, and didn't stop there. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You see, seek now goes beyond just asking. Seeking means that I am desiring this thing. Seeking requires that you act on your own. Knocking requires that you act. So there are some things that until you seek, you will receive. There are some doors until you knock. Not God now. Until you knock, it will not be opened. So you can begin to pray to God till thy kingdom come. I go together now. I mean, to the return of the Lord Jesus, you can begin to pray to God to open those doors for you, shall remain closed until the day you knock. I am telling you that God in you is able to create the miracle you desire. This is our season of spiritual turnarounds. We must tell ourselves the truth that it is God working through you that solves things. As long as you are of the opinion and the belief that God is working from heaven, you have missed it. You have missed the point. Because you have lost contact with the eternal life in you and the Spirit of God working in you. God is in us. Can somebody say, God is for me? Can somebody say, God is with me? And so can somebody say, God is in me? God is in you, working through you, working in you, both to his own will and good pleasure. If you can recognize eternal life working in you, and you can recognize the Spirit of the living God working in you, and you are able, through the word of God, bring these two to combine together. Are we together? You become naturally a force that cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop seeking God's mercy. He already gave you his son. Finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who is own son, Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. The Bible says, how will he not also, along with him, along with his son, graciously give us all things. I don't know what is outside of all things that grace didn't bring to you, that mercy will bring. You can try telling me what is outside of all things that grace didn't make available for you, that his mercy will make available. I'm telling somebody again today that the healing power you desire is in you. Are we together now? The direction that you need, a source of income is in you. The solutions you need, the ideas you need to revive that business is in you. Hallelujah. The power to break free from the stranglehold of darkness over your life, over your business, over your children is in you. The authority you need to trample upon demons and forces working against your life is in you. What you need to do is to activate it. Now, how do you activate this grace? Since grace is working through you, I'm going to mention it in simple words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without the Word, nothing was made that was made. All things were made by the word. Finally, if you are going to be activating grace in you altogether, because let me say this now, the Bible says that grace is manifested by faith. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to get now from verse 8 now. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So grace requires faith to manifest. In fact, the way to manifest faith is, the way to manifest grace is by faith. The way to activate grace, the way to activate that healing power, the way to activate the grace for healing power, the way to activate the grace for wisdom, the way to activate the grace for success, the way to activate the grace for anything that you desire right now, is by faith. And we know, according to the Bible in Romans 10 verse 17, that faith cometh only by hearing the word of God. What is called faith requires hearing of the word of God. Finally, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 describes how the Lord Jesus is upholding all things. And since you are in the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus is in you, describes tended to uphold all things too. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Do not forget, this scripture is describing the Lord Jesus primarily how he upholds things and where he is right now. But hallelujah, the Lord Jesus is the head of the church and you are his body. Now listen, the body of the Son. Listen. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Still talking about the Son, which you are a part of. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He says, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I repeat, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I repeat, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Your health can be sustained by the powerful words of God. Your business can be sustained by the powerful words of God. Your family can be sustained by the powerful words of God. That miracle you desire can be sustained, can be produced by the powerful word of God. Because it is this word of faith. It is this same word that produces faith. And it is this same word that produces the faith that activates the grace. In summary, in order for you to get God to intervene in your life, you must get the word of God to become your friend. I repeat, in order to get God to intervene in your life, you must get the word of God to become the belief and the standard for your life. Prophet Isaiah said, who have believed to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? He who believes the report of God is the man that sees the mighty. I repeat, he who believes the report of God is the one that receives the mighty hand of God. He who believes the word of God is the one that sees the mighty hand of God. It is no longer by mercy, it is by believing the word. If you can believe the word, you will receive the miracle. If you can believe the word, you will receive the requisite things you desire. If you can believe the word, you will produce the miracle. If you can receive, if you can believe the word, you would receive that which you are praying for. It all hinges on believing the word. Believing the word is important because it not only brings truth to your life, but it activates grace. Are you willing to activate grace tonight? Can you begin to declare the word that you are already familiar with? Go ahead and begin to declare it now. I am the head. I can never be the tail. I am prosperous because I am in Christ Jesus. I am joined to the Lord Jesus and one spirit with him. There is no relationship of any kind between me and darkness. I am one spirit with the Lord Jesus. And so I take authority over my finances. I take authority over everything that has to do with me. In the name of Jesus, I possess my possessions. In the name of Jesus, I live in divine health. I live in divine health. I am fruitful. I multiply. I can be barren because I am fruitful. That's upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. I am born of God. I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. Go ahead and declare the word that you're already familiar with. The power is in your mouth. God bless you as you do so. In the name of Jesus.